Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm John McEnroe.
I'm Bjorn Borg.
This is Martina Navratilova.
I'm Mats Wilander.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
I'm Andy Murray.
And you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
Hello and welcome to day five of the French Open, our fifth or sixth, if you count the preview, sixth daily French Open 2019 tennis podcast brought to you in association with The Telegraph, alongside The Telegraph's tennis correspondent Simon Briggs, who has momentarily lost track of what sport we're covering, has live cricket scores open in front of him, so if you hear occasional updates on what England and South Africa are getting up to, please forgive us.
I've sacrificed myself here because I've put my phone on airplane mode so as not to get... digital interference. I won't know whether England are going to stay on top of South Africa or not.
There are no lengths that we won't go to, no sacrifices we won't make to bring you the tennis podcast. Matt Roberts here also. Yesterday was a backloaded day. We had that frenzied hour at around between sort of 8 and 9 just before we recorded the podcast. Today has rather quietened down a bit, but it started off in a state of frenzy.
Yeah, four matches that I really wanted to watch, all of them, and it was difficult to keep an eye on each one.
Why were they all scheduled first? Why did we see Osaka and Azarenka first on Longlen today? Care to speculate?
I actually went to the wrong court. I rushed up the stairs on Chatrier, assuming that match was on Chatrier, and I got to the top, and I was like, that doesn't look like Osaka.
Well, I was stopped by a Japanese tennis fan who was actually sort of desperately trying to establish whether one of the big screens could be switched onto Longlen because it was showing Chatrier at the time. And he had this sort of desperate pleading look in his eyes that I've flown over to Japan, I managed to get a ticket for Chatrier, and Naomi Osaka isn't flipping well on Chatrier, and I implored him to just go and stand in front of Longlen and try and exchange his ticket with a massive Serena Williams fan or something. I also tried to sate him with the consolation prize of Karumi Nara being in action on Chatrier briefly, but he wasn't having any of that. He really wanted to see Naomi Osaka, and I really felt for him.
What stage of the match was that, though?
Just as it was getting going, they were just
because he did
up.
Have 3 hours to work it. Because
I wish him well. I hope that panned out for him.
I made my mix up just at the end of the second set. Thinking, oh, there may only be one more game, and then it turned out to be quite a lot left in the match.
Yeah, because Osaka was a set and 4-2 down, and then she was 5-1 up, and that she fought back to take that second set, and then she was 5-1 up and serving in the decider. And Matt, she confessed at that moment to having vision. She had a wobble, she got broken back, she got one of the breaks taken back from her by Azarenka, and she was having visions of Madison Keys US Open a couple of years ago flash before her eyes.
Yeah, she admitted that in press to the Japanese press pack, although I always stay for that portion of the Naomi Osaka press conference because she tends to answer in English, and that's what she did today. And she said, yeah, because she was asked on the court about it, and she said that she choked.
Yeah, and Fabrice Santoro said, oh, you were so mentally strong today, you seem so calm. And because she said, no, I'm not, I choked over there. I think I was really emotional.
And the Japanese journalist who asked her about that, I'm not sure Naomi Osaka knew the Japanese for choke, because she had to say that's a new word, and then she said it in English, and at first Osaka thought she was saying chalk, then it turned out that she was actually saying choke, and she said, yeah, at that point I was thinking of that Madison Keys match, US Open 2016, where she was 5-1 up, lost it, and in her own words, she describes that match as the tragic match.
But I was listening to Fabrice Santoro trying to translate that reply, and I didn't hear anything that resembled choke.
No.
And if I can continue to malign French players on this podcast, which is what I'd love to do, wouldn't you think that any French French player would know what the French for joke would be.
What are you trying to say about Fabrice Santoro?
Any French player.
I'm not sure. What is the French for choke?
Don't know. We will...
To be established, as a matter of urgency. I remain convinced that Naomi Osaka might win this tournament. I'm further convinced of that after that Azarenka performance.
But why does she only start playing well when she's like about a foot from the edge of the precipice?
I don't know, but what a skill.
Well, she said in press, I completely trust myself to, if I need to break back when it's gone down to the wire, I back myself to do that. She's got this complete belief in her game that she will find it when she needs it. It would just be easier for her if she could find it right at the start of the match.
She might run out of petrol because if she insists on staying that way. Like, I'm not actually going to switch on until one set and
but I'm not sure
down.
It's a conscious decision, though.
If women play best of five, do you think she'd be constantly battling back from two sets to love down?
Well, she's already used up a lot of lives in this 16-0 streak, Grand Slam streak that she's on now. I was looking at her record and she had 7-3 setters, and I think all those three setters she was really close to going out. But I just wonder how many lives has she got. I wouldn't want to put a figure on it because with Osaka, anything seems possible, really.
Tell you what, we should footnote Victoria Azarenka because she's playing very, very well and could be a factor on the grass, I reckon.
Yeah, I mean, she was powerful. I don't think she maintained quite her level in the third. And also, one slight downside of the match was the 11-minute suspension for bathroom breaks that took place between the second and the third, because the second was absolutely scintillating, wasn't it? I mean, it was as good a set as we've seen.
What's your take on that? You say downside. What's your? I don't deny that it's a downside for the viewer. I mean, when you're watching a tennis match, 11 minutes where there isn't tennis happening, obviously not ideal. But what's your take on it, Simon?
I don't know if I have an answer for it. I mean, it's just unfortunate, isn't it? I mean, there used to be none of this habit. It seems like that occasionally people are going to need to have a long bathroom break, and you mentioned menstruation in the Twitter debate that followed, but it wouldn't be such a problematic issue if people weren't already abusing the system. It can't always be for such good reasons, because it happens so often.
Yeah, but other rules are abused, and it doesn't mean the rules are wrong. It just means that, I mean, I don't have the answer to how to perfect the...
Or to police it. It's impossible to police
it. To police,
thing, isn't
I
it?
Don't have the answer to that. But I think I just... I'm not saying there isn't a discussion point there. I just have grown very tired with hearing male commentators just say, oh, here we go, another bathroom break, without even giving a thought to the possibility.
I mean, Joe Dury claims that she never had a bathroom break in her career.
But then that's privilege as well, isn't it? We talked about this with Karolina Pliskova, who I asked on the eve of the tournament about the rule change that both women and men are now only allowed one per match now. I asked her whether she thought that was fair, that the women were limited in the same way as the men, and it seems to me like it hadn't even occurred to her that because women menstruate, it would be a particular problem for them. So I can only assume that it isn't a problem for her, which is privilege in the same way that it is for, you know, male commentators and pundits and whatever that say, oh, this is appalling, you know, it's just game playing. Well, look, it might be. I'm not saying that rule doesn't get abused, but just to assume that it's an illegitimate or a case of abuse of the system, I find tiresome.
So the incidence rate must be greater than it would be if that were always the explanation.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, I don't have all the answers about it, and I don't deny that for the viewer it's not an ideal situation. I just think a slight reframing of the issue perhaps needs to occur. Osaka is through to play Siniakova, who got the better of Maria Sakkari. To my great surprise, I have to say, because I had started putting Sakkari in the category of people that just sort of get the job done.
Well, she was 5-1 up in the first set, and it turned into a 3-hour, 10-minute match that she lost. I think she'll have big regrets about that. And yeah, so Siniakova next for Osaka, which you would think would be a better match than and really inform Sakkari.
And while all this is going on, Dominic Thiem is busy being underarm served on Chatrier, the match that you presumably accidentally stumbled upon, Simon.
Yeah, they didn't all look round, thank God. But we were pretty high up in the new press area, on Chatrier, so you can sort of peek around the corner without disturbing too many people. But I just saw the odd dramatic Bublik drop shot, and then the way he finished off the tiebreak with some huge serving. I noticed he served 30 aces in the first round. I'm not sure how many it was today, but he was equal first after round one on serves.
I think Alexander Bublik goes onto court only thinking about the highlights reel and nothing else.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I honestly think they broke the world record of drop shots in that match. I mean, every other point he seems to throw
on
him.
Is this a third drop shot dragon?
Yeah, he's with Delien and Von Drusova fighting for
that. I was sitting with Ben Rothenberg on the Suzanne Longland court when I finally located the match I was looking for, and he described Bublik as a spare Kyrgios.
So, that is so damning, isn't it? He hit how many underarm serves today? At least two.
Slightly budget Kyrgios.
Daring to go where Kei Nishikori is yet to.
Oh, that's. I just think he needs to be reminded. I think he might have forgotten he promised it. But I'm sure if he remembered, he's such a fellow.
He's very obliging, doesn't he?
Yeah.
If he only knew how desperately he were letting me down.
But after he's hit it, I wonder if you just stand there and say, okay, your point. I just had to do that because I promised.
I do get a bit irritated when people keep saying that the underarm serve is a great tactic. So I just don't think it is, really.
Hey,
but today, against
got an
team...
Ace.
Well, it wasn't an eight, but he won
the points.
He won both points when he did it. And against team standing that far back, it makes a little bit of tactical sense every now and again. But
did team look irritated or accepting?
Team...
Did he look, how dare you do this to
me? He didn't really look like that, but he was clearly not enjoying the match at all. He just had absolutely no rhythm. And team lives off rhythm and just top-spinning shots, and he wasn't getting to do any of that. And when he was missing a lot.
Second straight match where he's dropped a potentially unnecessary set. Could it cost him?
I'm not sure it was that physical. It was a three-hour match, I think. It wasn't less than 3 hours. It wasn't too physical, and he's got, which we'll come on to, why he's got Pablo Cuevas next. But he's got Cuevas next, and I think that'll suit him a lot more.
Well,
that's sort of like a like-for-like, only one player being better, which is always the perfect scenario for anyone, isn't it?
It's like Djokovic.
A spare version of yourself.
Yeah, it's Ferrer Nadal. He does play Pablo Cuevas next because Pablo Cuevas only needed two sets and a bit to get the better of British number one, Carl Edmund, earlier on today. Match over on court number six. Edmund retiring with a left knee injury early on in that third set. He explained to us afterwards that it's an injury that's been niggling at him for a while. It's something he's managing. It sounds chronic rather than acute. He had an MRI the end of last year, so he's been sort of monitoring it and managing it. Doesn't think he needs surgery, intends to get himself right to play the grass. He said to me that he didn't retire because he thought he would be causing himself further damage by continuing to play. He just knew he wasn't able to win, knew he wasn't going to win, and that's why he retired, which I think has raised a couple of eyebrows. Don't know what you think of it, but certainly a, I don't know, it's not even a damp squib, is it? What is it for Kyle Edmund?
Well, it was certainly a pretty uneventful morning on court six, apart from the fact that I was blocked from getting in by an over-officious steward.
Do you know what? I think they had a security briefing yesterday morning because they were all free and easy, the stewards, for the first few days, and then suddenly yesterday I was getting involved in all sorts of altercations with officials, Roland Garros officials, left, right and centre. Anyway.
I thought I probably should be able to get in ahead of the crowd of spectators. I don't know, just because I was meant to be covering it. Maybe that's privilege, but that was my position. But I wasn't getting much agreement from the man on the door.
What's your position on Kyle?
He was limp, I guess. He looked like his mind wasn't really on the job. He got broken in his first service game. He managed to break back, but still lost the tie break. He was pretty close, I suppose, in that tie break. He netted a smash, which would have taken him to the changeover at 3-all. So, you know, if he won that first set, would he have maybe pushed on through the pain? It is a slightly unsatisfactory way to go off if you're not in any physical danger of worsening the injury. The trainer didn't actually examine his knee at all. He just came in and had a quick chat, didn't he?
Yeah, a quick chat. I mean, it was a bit like Kiki Burton's yesterday. The mind was made up, I think, before the trainer came onto court. Your colleague, Stuart Fraser, Matt... Simon, your colleague Stuart Fraser of the Times, has come up with a heck of a stat on Kyle, I believe, Matt.
Well, it's a stat that's been circling for some time, in that Kyle Edmund, whenever he's gone down two sets to love, he's never even won another set. So he's never even come close to mounting any sort of a comeback. And that's it's a significant sample size, because we're now up to 14 occasions where that's happened.
Not great, is it?
Yeah, I mean, it's... It is quite alarming. He early in his career, he had cramps regularly towards the back end of five-set matches, and he wasn't able to physically deliver his best for that long. And we thought that maybe the first round here was a potentially landmark in his career. That was the longest five-set match he'd ever played. It was a fantastic win, and the afterglow was...
brief.
Well, yeah, I was hoping it would last a little while longer than 24 hours.
So that leaves Jo Konta, the last remaining Brit. She takes on Victoria Kuzmova. We've decided, Simon, that given our early days support for Kuzmova, our sort of ownership of her, we're allowed to continue calling her Kuzmova, because Kuzmova just doesn't feel right. So we're going Sharapova on Kuzmova.
Didn't you switch from your kind of Kuzmova-ish young player fandom to Yastremska?
Yeah, he switched back now, Simon.
I mean, I didn't switch. We're on a break, but now we're very much back on.
Who was it you were starting to tell me about earlier that's your new...
Iga Swiatek.
she's caught his eye, the latest
She's
one.
Really good.
Catholic tastes in that corner.
No, she's junior Wimbledon champion last year, and now she's into the third round here. She's only 17, although actually she's 18 tomorrow, so when people are listening to this podcast, she may well be 18. And yeah, she's from Poland. She beat Chong Wong today. 6-3, 6-love. She's won both of her matches.
So does that make her older than Amanda Anisimova then? Because Amanda Anisimova is 17, so unless she turns 18 tomorrow as well...
Which she doesn't. But can we talk about her as well?
Yeah, go for it.
Because, I mean, that match against Sabalenka in Melbourne was one of the most profoundly...
It still lives with you. Look washes over your face when you talk about
it. It's entrenched in my mind. I just couldn't believe how well she played. She just completely took Sabalenka apart. And she played Sabalenka again today and wasn't quite so dominant, but it was... I mean, she just found her best level once again. And such a fascinating matchup, because Sabalenka's... fire, basically. You see all the effort she's putting into everything, and you hear it as well. And Anisimova is smooth, and you don't notice how hard she's hitting the ball. She's just got perfect timing, and her backhand is the purest thing on earth. She just strikes it perfectly every single time.
So there you are, Matt. You've gloried in her match. You've thought, oh yeah, Amanda Anisimova is the business. I'm going to go to a press conference and...
There are two downsides about Amanda Anisimova. One we learned about in Melbourne, where she's from...
Oh no, is bad.
She's from New Jersey and she hadn't heard of Bruce Springsteen.
Isn't she actually from the same town?
Yeah, Freehold. Yeah. And then the second thing...
I mean, presumably, I imagine in Freehold, New Jersey, there is...
Posters,
sort of some sort
bars.
Of, some sort of statue in honour of Bruce Springsteen on every corner. How is she... I don't know how that's happened, but anyway.
And then the other thing is that speaking to her is very difficult to get anything out of her whatsoever. She's highly media trained and just bats away.
But it's sad, isn't
everything.
It, that media trained equals actually crap with the media.
Well,
we say media trained.
Well, it comes across as that for sure. She's not nasty at all.
She's defensive, by the sounds of things.
Yeah.
What did you ask her?
Well, I asked her about, you know, what it is about playing Sabalenka that brings it out of her, and she just said, oh, she's a great player, I need to bring my best. So I thought, okay,
yeah. Next.
Let's go with another angle. Let's say, what about backing up a victory like this? You know, we see it a lot that players struggle to do that.
And she struggled with it in Australia, yeah.
And she said, I respect everyone.
Oh, crikey.
So I didn't have a lot to go on there, but... her tennis is great, and she's in a section of the draw with three other unseeded players, which means that the streak of unseeded players at a Grand Slam on the women's singles will go on to 21 consecutive slams now, guaranteed.
So we will be seeing one of whom?
Anisimova, Begu, Bolsova and Alexandrova.
Apparently Bolsova's quite cool.
She's
I'm just making a blank face, I'm sorry.
Yes. She's unexpectedly Spanish, which is something I learned today.
Aliona
Don't
Bolsova.
Don't be fooled by the name. Apparently of Moldovan extraction. Thank you, Matt, for that.
Yeah, and she's covered in tattoos, and she is
she likes to talk about the patriarchy.
And she's an ardent feminist.
Yeah, I mean, I only found out about her existence today, but she sounds great.
Well, but that's about 2 hours before I did. I'm now learning. I would just like to mention that I do know that Kuzmova is reading Hamlet for the fifth time.
What?
That is a
or rereading Hamlet.
That is
for the
a Kuzmova fact I did not know.
Yeah, apparently that she's a massive Shakespeare fan.
What?
She's also doing a degree.
Yeah, she does a degree in
politics.
Yeah,
it's like a Kuzmova off.
Kuzmova convention.
I've got nothing to bring to this party.
Well, other than that, she's a left-handed Anna Ivanovic.
Left-handed Anna Ivanovic, right-handed Petra Kvitova. That's what I've heard.
For Daria Kazatkina when I saw her from distance on the practice course.
Is she going to beat Jo Konta tomorrow?
Well, it's on Simone Mathieu and she's got some experience. You know, she's played on that court already, Kuzmova, which could be in her favour.
Talking up her chances, Matt.
It has to be less unruly than the Bullring number one court yesterday, where there was a boy who just ran laps, wasn't there, all the way around, all the time. And there was a brilliant moment towards the end because Konta was getting increasingly irate. There were so many children on there, and they were in constant motion. And there was a baby cried before one of her serves at about sort of the penultimate game. And I saw the chair umpire just put his head down and pinch the bridge of his nose in that kind of pained manner. Oh, my God, when is this going to stop? Because he was getting constant grief from Konta about the motion all around her. And actually, I had a little bit of sympathy. It was quite unruly on there.
It's Paris, though.
I know. You have to expect it.
At least there were people in the crowd. Come on, be thankful for small mercies.
I think Simone Mathieu will probably be a lot more settled.
It was pretty rowdy for Tsitsipas yesterday, that Delhi and Tsitsipas match.
They'll be noisy, won't they? But
yeah.
But they won't necessarily be doing laps.
In seeds, winning through quickly, Serena Williams clicked into gear seemingly today, 6-3, 6-2 over Karumi Nara, watched on presumably by my Japanese friend today. Cheering Karumi Nara as loud as he possibly could. Novak Djokovic 1-4-3 over Henri Laaksonen.
So Serena has now, if you look at the last year, she's only won back-to-back matches in five tournaments, and those five tournaments all Grand Slams. Last year's French Open through to this year's French Open.
Stat buzzer. You need to have a sort of maybe a bicycle horn to go home.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
okay.
I read into that she's...
Serena peaks for the big
she's
tournaments.
She's peaking quite well at these events.
Slash doesn't play many other events.
Indeed. I do wonder, like, all these players, you know, Osaka, Serena, Djokovic, they've all said it, I want to peak at the Slams. But, I mean, it's one thing saying it, but actually doing it, and, I mean, I do wonder how they get in that mental space, what they're doing to their games that is different. It's an interesting point. It's just kind of taken for granted, I think, that they can peak for these events, but how are they doing it?
Serena Williams now plays Sonia/Sofia Kenin.
Yes, rather than Andreescu, who withdrew yesterday.
Yeah. How many matches are we away? I've just seen on the draw that suddenly Osaka and Serena feature on the same page. How many matches are we away?
They need to win
two more.
It's a quarter final.
Because that needs to happen. I can't believe we haven't seen the rematch yet of Osaka Serena.
I look forward to Serena's press conference after her second win, when she will duck any questions.
I think she might go full Anisimova.
Yeah.
Every player's tough. I'm going to need to play my best tennis. Thanks very much. I'll see you later. Other seeds winning through quickly. In surprise seeds winning through quickly news, Alexander Zverev. This is only his second ever straight sets win at the French Open. I know he's only young, but that's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, he played a lot better today. He was a lot more aggressive. I didn't watch a lot of it. But
how many metres behind the baseline was he standing on average today?
Not eight.
Not okay.
So a significant improvement.
Clearly listening to the podcast, I would say.
Yeah.
The tennis podcast is his new coach. We haven't been waylaid with allergies in the same way as Ivan Mandel.
We spent this morning, the British press, at a Eurosport 30th anniversary media breakfast with Boris Becker, John McEnroe, and so on. And the general kind of mood was that the exasperation level is really growing now in terms of the next gen. It seems to have just reached a kind of tipping point.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, Tennis Podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking, and I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. Being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life and, of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right.
And everyone's getting really fed up having to talk about the same players, basically.
They're still a long way away, aren't they?
Because most of the guys there, we had Clijsters and Bartley, but most of the men were asked about the men, and there was definitely a feeling of frustration.
Is it problematic that they put a label on them?
Well,
I think that was smart.
Absolutely smart at the time, but now.
But it's also
problematic. I don't know.
The kind of the umbrella that's covering them has become so broad and so desperate that Dominic Thiem is considered part of that group, even though he's 4 years old, 5 years older. Sorry, than Tsitsipas, right?
Yeah.
So it's just like anyone
who isn't called Djokovic, Federer, Nadal, or Murray.
He's in his mid-20s.
We'll throw you into next gen.
Do you think they'll start including Kei Nishikori again soon? Because technically, he's. I think of him as the same gen as it's the Nishikori Raonic team gen.
Dimitrov.
The middle Dimitrov.
We've already kind of abandoned hope.
The underachieving gen.
I mean,
yeah.
We've completely written them off.
So, but because team's the only one of those that's not underachieving at the moment,
he's
suddenly
not quite,
getting grouped in with the
young
hopefuls.
He's not quite the same, is he? Because he's about 2 years behind Nishikori, 2-3 years behind.
Yeah, he's kind of in between.
They can't all be exactly the same age. Basically, we've all given up on Shapovalov and migrated back towards
Dominic. I think you've given up on Shapovalov.
I just, it's the hope.
You're a major Dennis denier.
It's the hope that kills, Simon.
I mean, what is he, 20? He just turned 20 the other day.
Yeah, I know, I just need a bit of a break, because it's not that I just need to see some signs of progress. I worry, it's just all very stagnant at the moment, and I still believe in the macro sense, but in the micro sense, I'm finding it a bit painful.
Well, I think Felix has got more love from that group of
right-handed Rafa
Nadal than
says Greg.
Does he?
Right-handed Rafa, yeah.
Okay.
You've not been watching enough Prime coverage. He says it every day.
Okay. Well, I should be up on that. But
I think he might have trademarked that nickname.
It doesn't look anything like Nadal, does he?
Sorry. No, not in appearance.
No, I mean like the way he plays.
I think it's topspin forehand. I think he's made a bit of a leap there, though.
Yeah, I mean,
and movement.
There are significantly heavier forehands than Felix.
And he's got that Djokovic backhand.
Djokovic, when I watch him, I definitely think Djokovic.
Yeah,
I think, you know, that's young Djokovic.
Backhand on the run, sliding into it, that Djokovic kind of invented. Felix has kind of got a bit of that going on as well.
But none of that's a catchy.
No,
I think Greg's picked the wrong one of the big two there. But you know, that's only my feeling.
He couldn't think of anything. Yeah, I mean, what are we calling Tsitsipas? The right-handed.
Well, he's definitely closest to Roger. But I mean, I've said what I.
He's like a combination, but he's also got that sort of relentless depth. Metronomic Djokovic-y thing about him. I mean, not yesterday, he couldn't find the strings for a good period of his second round match, but made it through. Any other notable results from today? We've still got quite a few matches still to be cleared up today, mostly involving French players. Luca Puy has just got started against Martin Kližan. Caroline Garcia just won through. I think Gael Monfils has won against Adrian Mannarino. Well, I think Mannarino was a bit injured.
What's happened with Del Potro? Because he was having knee issues.
Well, the reason we're recording this podcast now is because Matt was spiralling into a well of despair about Del Potro suffering another knee issue, and I wanted to provide a distraction. But good news, Matt, he's 2-1 up over Yoshihito Nishioka.
Yeah, if there's one guy who doesn't need another injury, it's Del Potro. But he seemed to sort of slip on the clay and went to have a bit of treatment and really was not moving for about 3 or 4 games, lost the first set, but given that he's won the next 2-6-4-6-2, he appears to have made a recovery. But while I was watching that match, in order to cheer myself up, I started watching Su Wei She. Enough to cheer anyone
antidote.
Up.
The injury antidote.
She could probably cheer Carl Edmund up.
Is she still unsponsored?
That's a big call.
She's wearing all sorts of sponsors. She's got like 5 different.
Oh, so she's open to offers then?
Yeah.
Right then.
We need to get our presentation together.
Board that train ASAP.
But she lost.
Oh, right. Oh, no, we don't do losers, man. No. We don't do losers.
But it was just.
What a punchline.
It was just the joy. There was a moment where she was taken out wide and she went to the side of the court, and there was someone watching on court 14 had their phone on the side, and she picked it up and pretended to make a phone call and then put it back down.
Sort of Maria Sharapova winning Wimbledon style, although that wasn't pretending, was it? But it led to a very lucrative Vodafone deal.
But yeah,
the same could be forthcoming for Su Wei She.
I want a Su Wei She app on my phone that gives me an alert whenever she's playing so I can tune in, because I feel like I just miss too much Su Wei She content.
That's Petkovic she lost
Petkovic,
to, right?
Yeah, Petkovic, good win
who
for
was
Petkovic.
A semi-finalist here about 4,000 years ago. I know it only gets her into the third round, but that feels quite big.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other woman who's had a big result, Monica Puig, has reached the third round, her first third round at a slam since she won the Olympic gold.
And what an advert that is for the coaching powers of Kamau Murray, of course, was with Sloane Stephens when she won the US Open, also staying at my hotel.
Another one.
I mean, Kiki Burtons, I'm slightly concerned actually that whatever virus she's come down with, she's spreading it around the sixth floor of the Mercure Paris Boulogne. Or that it was some sort of food poisoning caused by the cuisine at the Mercure. But Ash Barty's staying there, Stefanos Tsitsipas. We're still on for the Mercure French Open double, I think.
Barty and Tsitsipas.
The unlikely Mercure French Open double.
You had more of a chance while Burton's in the tournament, probably.
More of a chance, but yeah, unfortunately she's just spreading some sort of lurgy around the sixth floor. Any other business, Matt, from day 5 of the French Open?
I mean, Djokovic, we haven't really talked about him, but it's not
he was
a
very, very
huge
good.
Amount to say. He was very good.
He's doing what he didn't do last year, which was his completely ruthless, not expending any unnecessary energy in the early rounds thing, which is what Nadal and Federer did yesterday, in particular Nadal, of course. But yeah, they're just, those three guys are just doing their thing so far. Yeah,
the contrast between the draws, isn't there, really, between the top women are dropping sets left, right and centre, and the top men, they're living up to the Eurosport team's depression over the lack of any new blood to break up the pattern.
Which of the two competitions have you found more interesting so far?
I guess I've been quite Brit-centric, really, so I suppose I've enjoyed watching Konta. I think I did really enjoy the Davis match. I thought it was really entertaining. contrast of styles, lots of ebbs and flows. I'm really looking forward to the Kuzmova because I haven't had much of a chance to watch her.
Tomorrow we see Roger Federer play on Longlen. Casper Ruud, he doesn't like playing on not the centre court. Of course, the last time we saw that at a slam, he ended up losing to Kevin Anderson last year at Wimbledon. Could the same happen to Casper Ruud? I mean, all I can think of when I hear the name Casper Ruud now is his celebration upon the default of Nick Kyrgios in Rome.
Oh yes, that was tremendous.
He celebrated like
he'd won the like he'd beaten Federer on Longlen.
Like he'd won everything.
Yeah.
So Casper Ruud's got something about him.
Including the brilliant stat about his father, who played in the 1999 French Open with Federer.
Do we think Federer could be grumpy about being
on Longlen? I don't know. Suzanne Longlen is a fantastic course, isn't it? It's actually one of my favourites. That doesn't necessarily mean that Roger feels the same way, but I think it really is a fantastic setting. And obviously, Azarka and... Azarka's match today was a good example.
Yeah, a very good point.
And his Max is on his racket as well. I think if he knows that if he goes in with the right mindset and a good game, he will win that.
Also on Longlen for Vrinka Dimitrov.
Yes. Can't wait.
Is it
that.
Still the start of something for Dimitrov?
It's the start of something for one of them. I mean, they're both coming in on a injury-racked, inconsistent
path. Did you see any of Vrinka yesterday? I'm still sort of vibrating from the shudders
good.
Of... It was terrifying. I hope Grigor Dimitrov saw none of it.
But he
thought it was the start of something in round one.
I'm just worried about Dimitrov's shoulder. He said today, it's always a concern. I wake up every day hoping I'm not going to have pain in it. So that was after his match yesterday.
Shoulders don't really clear up in tennis.
That sounds bleak.
They pretty much get worked out on every shot.
Stevens against Polona Herzog, also on Longlen, and Elise Mertens, who we decided was the cut-off point of the mix, didn't we, for the women's draw?
Did we?
Against Anastasia Savastova, also in the McCure Savastova.
Oh.
Philippe Chatrier features Karolina Pliskova against Petra Martic, Muguruza against Svitolina. I think Muguruza's winning that.
Yeah.
And I think Charlie Ecclestone could have been on to something.
He has Muguruza in the final.
Okay, well,
he was an early adopter.
I said Svitolina probably shouldn't have entered if she wasn't confident of winning the title, so I sort of need her to go out, otherwise I look a bit silly.
I've said very similar, Simon. David Goffin against Nadal. I'm pleased to see Goffin doing something, but I think what he's going to do tomorrow is probably lose in three sets.
If anyone wants to preview that match, go on YouTube and watch Goffin Nadal highlights from Madrid from a few years ago, because they had literally a game where every shot was a highlight reel shot, and it's, you know, I think YouTube whatever captioned it as the best game in tennis history or whatever, which might be a stretch, but
Alexander Bublik, eat your heart out.
Fully recommend watching that because it's stunning.
And Stefanos Tsitsipas against Filip Krajinovic.
That's
to
not
round
easy.
Things off. No, I agree.
Krajinovic is playing well. That's a bigger... I'm going to regret saying this, but that's a bigger obstacle for me to the Wawrinka Tsitsipas match that we want to see than Dimitrov.
Oh, Grigor. Simon Mathieu, drop shot dragon, Vondrousova, takes on Carla Suarez Navarro, downer of Diana Yastremska.
Yeah.
She was all over Carla Suarez Navarro, wasn't she? Like a set in 5-1 or
Yastremska?
Something?
Yastremska? Oh, yeah.
I was watching watching the scores thinking, oh, Matt's onto something here. And the next I saw was Carla Suarez Navarro in the winning press conference.
Yeah. He always gets them one slam too soon.
Yeah, Simon. Watch out
so
at Wimbledon.
Come Wimbledon, Matt's going to be the Diana Yastremska correspondent. Karenia Busta against Benoit Paire. Is Benoit Paire the best French hope for this tournament?
Well, he's won 8 matches in a row in Paris without losing his blank, 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 blank tee.
Yeah.
So he's onto a roll here, and he hasn't been booed off. Was this your point?
Well, he's a changed man.
Like, I watched him in Marseille earlier this year, and the French crowd hated him. They literally booed him off. Here, they love him. They're singing the Marseillaise before he starts.
Do you know,
chanting
I was
his name.
Watching archive footage of Henri Leconte's final with Mats Wilander in 1988 here, and he was booed not only during the match, but he was booed during the ceremony.
Oh, God.
But pair off against categorised with the Kyrgios group, but he's played almost every week this year, hasn't he? I mean, I don't think he has any problem in his affection
every
for tennis.
Week. Oh, yeah. Every week.
So
it's just his own man.
It's just that he's a sort of the kind of mad pianist with sort of wild hair, isn't he? When he hits a bum note, he kind of
very tight shorts.
He knocks the whole keyboard to the ground.
Yeah, loves a tight trouser. Nicolas Mahut against Leo Meyer, conqueror of Diego Schwartzman. That match was still in progress last night. That's a big scalp for Meyer. Is Nicolas Mahut the great French hope? In the men's.
Maybe in the doubles.
And then Joe Konta against Victoria Kuzmova. We all know who's winning that one, folks. What's in the papers tomorrow, Simon?
Lots of cricket.
Specifically in your paper.
Yeah. Simon's desperate to wrap this up so he can find out the cricket score.
Can we do a live update?
Yeah, live update on the cricket. Come on, Simon. How much does it impact the space that you'll get tomorrow?
It does impact it a bit, actually. I mean, it's been a couple of busy days, what with the...
That interference you're hearing, folks, is Simon is, okay, desperately seeking.
Really, really big moment for me. that bar, 184 for seven.
Which is good news, everyone.
Good news
to all our American listeners.
Probably
184 for seven. They need they need almost 10 and over.
It's over. It's Kuzmova, that match.
It's going to be World Cup glory for England.
Did he just pluck that out of thin air, Matt? Right, okay. On that bombshell on all fronts, let's wrap up this roadshow. We've been the Tennis/Cricket podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph, where there'll be a lot of cricket and a little bit of tennis in the sports pages tomorrow, in association with our executive producers, tennisballs.com, with Rio with a Y. Reminder that David will at some point be on this podcast, but he's busy going to... last night, Simon, he was at the Greatest Showman sing-along live. So that is the biggest...
I hated that.
Those are the bigger fish that David Law is frying. That and being media director of the Fever-Tree Championships. But more importantly, going to see the Greatest Showman
live. Was that his own decision?
The photo that he sent us featured a glow stick and a very grumpy face, so I suspect it might be something to do with his children.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I tried to sleep through it thinking that would be better than having to watch any more, but I didn't quite manage to drop off.
Right, then. We're in Paris talking about tennis. David is singing along to the tunes of The Greatest Showman. We'll be back tomorrow.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.